What does the bride of Christ consist of? Is it the church, or is it all those who have been baptized into the body of Christ from Genesis to Revelation? On this slice of fresh bread. Welcome to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church, Gainesville, with Pastor Brandon and Pastor Keith. Well, thanks for clicking on Fresh Bread. Fresh Bread, where we're bringing the truth of God's Word to a starving world. Fresh Bread Podcast 100. We made it to 100. Now you're ready for this, Pastor Brandon.
I think so. I don't know exactly what you have planned.
You didn't bring your little party hat.
No.
Well, we made it to 100 podcasts. Did you ever think we'd make it this far?
I didn't really think about it. It was just kind of one at a time for me. I didn't, you know, when we started this, it was, you know, I didn't think of, you know, even if people would listen, didn't really ever, it didn't really matter to me if people listened or not. I just wanted to do this so that I could grow. I mean, it may sound selfish, but I feel like for me, it was enough reward that I would grow in my understanding as I try to understand so that I can explain, you know, different things or whatever we're talking about. So, but I never really thought of it in terms of we'll make it to 100, no more than I'm thinking, are we going to make it to 200 or 1,000, or it's just one at a time. And if the Lord continues to let us do it, then we'll do it.
Yeah. I thought it was mainly because you wanted to see me every week, but okay. We did this. It all kind of came together in your kitchen. Was it in 2022? We started talking about it, and then we did our first one in February of 2022.
Whenever Asbury was our first.
Our 23?
Asbury was our, whenever that Asbury revival, quote-unquote revival, started. Yeah. That was our first episode.
We might play some highlights when we finish our.
Yeah, 2023. It was February 2023.
Okay. Yeah. That's when we started.
Yeah.
That was podcast number one.
Yes.
And hopefully some of you maybe have listened to all 99, and now you're listening to 100, but it's okay if you haven't. I mean, that we did a lot of them, so.
Yeah, and there's been some that have been better than others, so.
Yeah, there's some stinkers, but there's also some good ones. It's in every podcast, there's that, but we're learning as we go.
So I would say there's some good ones, and then there's some better ones. Instead of their okay. Stinkers, and I didn't. That's the first time I've ever heard you felt like some of them were stinkers. But hey,
well, no, I think when we started, we were doing it on our phone.
Oh,
and it was
From a sound quality standpoint. Yeah, the first few were we did the phone, and I think the phone actually sounded decent.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
But then we tried a different soundboard for a couple, and the soundboard was horrible, and it created problems, and we realized that, and we ended up investing in a bigger, better board for this that's built specifically for podcasting and better microphones. And so now we've upgraded to where you have your own setup at your house, and I have my own setup at my house, and we are able to work together on that. So, you know, we're able to do our own thing here, which actually kneading bread has been, you know, I've been able to do kneading bread. And I need to get back into that, but yes.
That was kind of a spinoff of Fresh Bread.
Yes, yes.
So we're excited because in the next, hopefully the next 100, the Lord willing, we'll have some other interesting topics to talk about. We're always welcoming questions from people who are listening right now. If you have questions, there's a place you can go on our website, gracegainesville.org.
I think that's it.
And you can submit your questions, and we'll put them on our list, and we'll get together, and we'll talk about it. So any questions that you've had and been afraid to ask, this is your time to do it, because it can't hurt, and nobody's going to know that you asked it unless we say your name, which we could do if it's a bad question.
So I have a question for you. You're always asking the questions.
Yeah.
I think I've asked a few questions over time, but very few. So what has been your favorite episode?
Boy, that's a good one. I enjoyed the UFO one. That was a fun one. I think we might do more of coming up some more of that stuff with the UFOs, Bigfoot, the Nephilim.
Yeah.
all that kind of fun stuff that's in the Bible. But we don't want to spend too much time on that because there's a lot of stuff going on that is more serious. But these are all topics that people are, I think, interested in because they're oddities. You know?
Yeah, I would actually say the UFO one. I think we may have done a couple that were more, like there was one with the Tucker Carlson where we did the interview with somebody, Joe Rogan. And they were talking about, you know, different things like he said it was, you know, UFOs were demonic. But we had, I think prior to that, did an episode where we talked about UFOs and talked about them being a demonic manifestation. In terms of not everything is truly a UFO, but that if there are UFOs, that it's got to be demons. And I still would say that, but that was probably my favorite episode.
Yeah.
And my, as well. What have you found challenging about this doing the podcast?
Challenging? Why? What isn't challenging? Well, I edit these and do all that. So there's a lot of work sometimes because I mess up a lot with a lot. I try to make myself sound good and you sound sort of good. So no, I try to make both of us sound, and I want it to be smooth so that it's quick and it people don't like, you know, you want it to flow.
Yes.
And so people are listening.
Yeah. I think what's hard for me, so it's pretty well known, I think, that I have a bit of a stutter. You know, I have some speech things that go on, and what I'm realizing is that it has to do with thinking. Like if I have time to think out what I'm actually going to say, I don't have as much problem. But if I'm thinking as I go, I sort of think with my words. And so I think, so I end up going, I end up adding words in order to give myself time to think it through. But yeah, that's, for me, that's probably been the biggest challenge, is trying to be smooth enough that you don't have to do all that extra work, but at the same time, knowing that that's just how God has made me, that, you know, my brain works in that way. And there's really, I can work at it, and I want to work in it. And I continue to work at it. I do it with my preaching as well, but it has shown me, I've definitely seen over the past several years that I struggle with my speech and my speech, you know, like saying what I need to say without having pauses and like I'm doing right now. But
yeah, I've noticed that when you speak when you're thinking, and then you'll say it, and then you'll say it again, and then you'll say it again, and yes, the third time you can tell you've got your thoughts.
Yes.
But that's kind of how you're processing.
Yes.
As you go. And I think we're all different, and that's okay to do that. Sure. For me, I'm always amazed at the pauses that I have sometimes when I'm speaking as I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. To ask the question, which surprises me sometimes that it's that long of a pause, but because it doesn't seem that long when I'm talking to you, but when you're listening to it, or saying a lot or
yeah,
as we think.
My biggest challenge, I mean, other than the speech thing, but my biggest challenge is making sure that we're discussing things that matter. You know, like as an example, you know, when you delve into the political side of things, you know, are we getting out of our lane, so to speak? Mm-hmm. Like this whole thing is, you know, we're bringing fresh bread to a starving world, but it's, you know, it's a theologically based discussion. And when we start talking about politics, like are we going away from, you know, what our core, what is core for us? And so that's been challenging for me to think through what sorts of questions we should try to deal with on this podcast. So
yeah, speaking about Donald Trump, he can be a polarizing figure where if we even start talking about, people are gonna, oh, I'm gonna switch into a different podcast. Or some people are like, well, this is interesting because it's Donald Trump, and we don't want to make it Donald Trump all the time, but he is an interesting political historical figure living in our time.
Yes.
And it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Well, I think where I've landed is because we're theologically based, we should give commentary based on what we see, you know, what we see in current events and how they relate to a theological understanding of the world, like how it, you know, seeing these things through a biblical lens. And so I think that we should deal with those things, but I don't think that should be our main, like that should be, you know, maybe 10% of the episodes we're dealing with those kind of things, or 15% of the, you know, most of the episodes are more based on specific questions about the Bible and about, you know, theological yeah. understanding. And so that's been a challenge for me personally as I've thought through it in terms of doing this podcast. And so so hopefully we've got it. Hopefully we're getting it right. Hopefully it's been enjoyable and we've not strayed too far, you know, during our, as we've gone along in these 100 episodes.
Yeah. Well, we're not as good as some of the major podcasters, but from listening to what they talk about, sometimes they're talking about the same thing we're talking about.
Yeah.
And we talked about it before they did.
Yeah.
So, but we, again, what you said is true. What we're trying to do is we're taking things and looking at them from a biblical lens. So we want to, if there's things happening in the world, some major event, we want to look at it from a biblical point of view. And also even just looking at questions that come up every day, which is what we're going to look at today. Somebody sent in this question. So we're going to talk about that. And then I think at the end, we might play some highlights if, you know, if we can find any, but we'll see what we can do. So I'm going to ask you this question as we get going on our 100th podcast. This is what someone sent us this question. It's, is the Bride of Christ the same thing as our local church? Are those two synonymous? And we'll just start with that, and then we'll branch off because there's a lot of questions that come with that. So the Bride of Christ and the local church, is it the same thing?
So you're asking that question.
I'm trying,
So the Bride of Christ and the Body of Christ, is that what you're asking?
Well, I think when I looked at the question, it said the your local body. So let's just say Case Cranesville.
Yeah, so it's interesting because that's actually, you took it, in our pre-discussion, you took it a different direction.
I will go that direction.
Okay.
We will go that direction, but okay. I wanted to ask you this one to start.
So this was the part that I was actually prepared for.
Okay, let me rephrase it then.
No, I'm fine. I want to answer that question.
Okay.
So the body of Christ and the local body of Christ, are they the same thing? Is that
that'll be the question.
Well, no, what was the actual question?
The Bride of Christ.
Okay, the Bride of Christ. And
should we start with, what is the difference between the Bride of Christ and the body of Christ? Is there a difference?
Well, I think, so let me just answer the question this way. I would argue that the body of Christ and the Bride of Christ are ultimately the same thing.
Okay.
Okay. Biblically, they're the same thing, but you're looking at things from a different aspect. The body of Christ seems to be more focused on who we are as the church in terms of our relationship with one another and with Christ. Okay. That we, you know, cause we're members of the same body. And the idea there is that it's got to do with spiritual giftedness. It has to do with unity in the Holy Spirit. The idea is that we're one body with different functions. That's how Paul uses that description, body of Christ. Whereas the Bride of Christ seems to refer more to probably to eschatological understanding, where Christ has purchased the body of Christ, has purchased the church with his own blood, Acts chapter 20, and he has redeemed the church by his blood. And so there's and the church is his bride, and we see that in Ephesians 5, the Bride of Christ that is, you know, that's the picture there is the bridegroom and the bride. And so when Christ bought the church, it pictures the idea, as we talked about in the pre-show, it pictures the idea of the groom going and negotiating a price with the bride's father. And so Christ paid that price. And then after the negotiation, the groom goes away and he builds a house, a room on his father's house. Mm-hmm. And that room, that space is intended for the bride and the groom to be together. And then when, you know, after in the betrothal period was a year, and so there was a negotiation for the bride. There was a year period where he prepared for that. And then there was the wedding feast that happened at the end of that period where they consummated the marriage.
Yes, and it was when you look at the Jewish wedding, there you're talking about, there's the betrothal.
Yes, betrothal period.
There's the payment, the purchase price, which means that woman is now set apart. she can't date anyone else.
That's right.
It's almost like what was like Mary and Joseph.
Yes.
They were betrothed.
That's right. They were betrothed.
And then the bridegroom departs. He goes to his father. He goes back to his father's house. He builds and he adds on a room.
Yes.
Where he and his bride are going to live. And so the bride is preparing for his return, but she doesn't know when he's going to come because it's going to be kind of a surprise.
That's the part I didn't know that. I'm glad. I mean, if that's true, I'm not doubting you. I had never read that the bride didn't actually know when he was going to return, which would actually fit with, we don't know when Christ is going to return.
The Jewish tradition is that the groom would come and shout and yell to her and say, I'm here.
Okay.
And then they have the ceremony.
Yeah.
And then they have the marriage supper, which in the Jewish wedding would last 7 days. Usually it was a huge party.
Yes.
And then they would go.
That's interesting. I don't want to put too much into this, but the seven-year period of the tribulation. So we would argue that Christ is going to return for the bride of Christ, his bride, at the beginning of the tribulation period, and he's going to rapture the church, and that's when this wedding is going to happen and the marriage supper of the Lamb and the consummation of the marriage between Christ and the church is going to happen during that tribulation period. And the tribulation period is 7 years, whereas the wedding feast is 7 days. That's interesting. I mean, it may not be
right. I don't think they were all 7 days, but that was the tradition. Yeah,
that's interesting. I mean, I'm not saying that it's necessarily that's exactly what's happening, but it just seems to kind of fit, you know, the whole picture of what we're seeing.
Well, it's beautiful when Jesus in John 14 verse 2 says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, that where I am, you may be also." Man, that just fits so well.
Yeah, I mean, it fits the whole picture of the betrothal period.
Yeah.
You know, that's the period of where he buys the bride, the betrothal period, and then the return and announcement, a shout like that of an archangel. With the voice of an archangel, right? Right? Is that what it says?
Yeah.
That's what it says in 1 Thessalonians. And so then you have Christ taking us up into the air, and that's where this wedding feast is going to occur. And yeah, I mean, I think it definitely fits. So going back to the difference between the body of Christ and the bride of Christ, I think just the simple answer is that they're the same thing. It's just different. It's just different aspects of it.
So do you have to be, does it have any bearing that you're a member of your church or not a member of your church? Because if you're, let's say you're not a member of the church, are you still part of the body of Christ?
Well, okay. So I think we have to go back and define the local church and its relationship to the body of Christ. I would argue, and have said this many times in the past, that the local church is a physical manifestation of the body of Christ in a place at a time, at a certain time, in a certain place at a certain time. So, as an example, Grace Bible Church didn't exist until 2017. And in 2017, we came together as a body, as a church, as a local church that is from 2017 to now 2025, we have been a local manifestation of the body of Christ in Gainesville during that time period. And if we last for another 50 years, whatever it is, we will be that local manifestation of the church in that 50 during that 50 years. And so, but there are people who lived, I mean, as an example, the church at Ephesus, we talk about Ephesians a lot. So the church at Ephesus was a church that existed in first century AD, and it existed in Ephesus. It's a physical place. It existed at a certain time period, in a certain time period from, you know, whatever, whenever it was planted to whenever it ultimately died. And we know Revelation 2, that he warned them if they didn't return to their first love, that they would, that their candle would be taken away. And so we don't know when that happened, but at some point Ephesus ceased to exist, or not the city, but that specific church. Now that church may have morphed into other churches and probably did. That's how this whole thing works, is that churches plant other churches. And as some churches die because they get off track and you know, God takes a, basically they're no longer a church because of they've left the faith, if you will. And so, but the point that I'm making is the local church, again, is the physical manifestation of the body of Christ, which the body of Christ, I would argue, is saints from Pentecost.
Okay.
Saved saints from Pentecost until the beginning of tribulation or until the rapture.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what makes up the entire body of Christ.
So what are the what are the Old Testament saints? Where do they fit in?
Yeah. Okay. So I want to preface my answer with this: the pre-flood saints and the post-flood saints are everyone. I mean, pre-flood would, you know, if you look at Genesis 4:26, it says, "And men began to call upon the name of the Lord," and so God had a set apart people from really from Cain and Seth, right? Because Cain killed Abel, and then Seth came. Between Cain and Seth, there's the Cainite line, which ultimately filled the earth with violence and evil. And then you have the Sethite line, which were included people who were calling upon the name of the Lord. That's how I would see it in terms of Genesis chapter 4. And Noah was part of the Sethite line. And it came down to where he was the only righteous man on earth, and so the people of God would have been, you know, Adam, Seth, Enosh, all the way down to Noah, and that would have been the people of God. And so now they were believers, if we use that terminology, because they had faith in that God was going to send a Messiah. He was going to send a redeemer. We see that at Genesis 3:15. He says he's going to send one that will crush the head of the serpent. So I think that they were looking forward to the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah, that God's people were looking for the Messiah. So those who had faith that God is going to send the Messiah to return them to the garden or return them to a right relationship with him, they are the ones who are calling upon the name of the Lord. I would argue that's God's people, but I don't think they're the church, right?
Yeah.
Because the church, that was a mystery.
Yeah.
That was a mystery. Now, obviously there's the connection between Noah and his sons and Abraham. I don't think it changed any, you know, in that during that time. I think, I mean, they became believers by believing in the Lord, by belief. And we see that clearly with Abraham, because it says in Genesis 15 that he believed Yahweh and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And that's justification by faith, which is the same justification that we all experience. Like from you know, I would say from Adam, because I would argue Adam was saved. I mean, I would argue that Adam was a believer. I've heard people try to argue against that, but I just don't see that. That some people believe that he's going to be damned, and I just don't see it. But because God covered his sin, like God actually used the skins to cover them, yeah. And I think that signified covering his sin. But yeah, I mean, I would argue that those Old Testament saints, whether it's pre-flood or post-flood, you know, pre-tower, post-tower, Israel, all of those would be, you know, they're different categories of believers, right? Mm-hmm. You have pre-flood believers, you have post-flood believers, you have believers that were Israel. They're all different, and I mean, they're all the same, and they are all the same in how they come to know who Christ, or not Christ, but, well, in their understanding of what God was going to do, right? God was going to send one to redeem them. I believe that's what Abraham believed, that he was going to have there was going to be a seed, right? He believed God that there was going to be a seed that would redeem them. And so when you get to the church, nothing has changed in that sense in terms of salvation, that we are still justified by faith in Christ. But I would argue that we're a different category of people. And let me show you how that works its way out, and because some people are going to struggle with this, because some people believe that, you know, the church and Israel are ultimately the same thing, right? There's a lot of people who believe that, But and the, that you know, that basically the Israel becomes the church. But I don't see it that way. I see it biblically that there's that they are two different categories. Saved the same way. There's no two ways of salvation. Saved the same way, but they're in different categories. And let me show you why I say that. Because after the cross, after Pentecost, that is, what happened at Pentecost?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit came. Holy Spirit came to live within the saint.
Yeah.
And so the church is in a different category in the sense that the church has the Holy Spirit, whereas Old Testament saints didn't. And so, you know, people who struggle with dispensationalism, you know, in terms of how that works, but God dealt differently with Israel or prior to Pentecost. He dealt differently with those people than he is dealing with the church. And I would say the main difference is the Holy Spirit, you know, that the Holy Spirit has come to indwell us. Like Christ is living in us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't see that with the Old Testament saints. So yeah, they're different categories. So I would say, going back to your original question about the body of Christ, I would not categorize Old Testament saints as the body of Christ. I would categorize from Pentecost until the rapture.
Okay.
That is the church. And the local body, the local church then is a physical manifestation of the body of Christ in a certain time and place.
So as we look at Revelation 19:7, where it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb,
mm-hmm.
do you think the Old Testament saints will be a part of that with us? Will they be able to celebrate that supper with us that we believe is going to happen during the beginning of the tribulation? Or is it just going to be the body of Christ, the bride of Christ?
I should say. Well, what do you think about that?
I was just thinking about that as you were talking. I'm wondering if they're going to be able to partake in that, even though they're not part of the bride, but they are. Because when Christ comes back, it talks about the saints will come with him. I'm mm-hmm. sure they'll come then, and we'll come with them. The church will be there, the body of Christ. The saints will be there too. Yeah. So it's an interesting question.
It is an interesting question, because it's interesting to me that I don't necessarily have such a big division in between the church and Israel that I wouldn't be able to see that at some point we become one. He's not going to deal with us differently, and you know, as we progress forward. And so, and I know that to some people that would sound like, well, basically you're saying the church and Israel come together. And I would argue that within God's people during that time, there's still going to be ethnic distinctions, and there's going to be different roles. Yeah. And so there's going to be a different role for Israel than there is for the Gentiles, from those who are Gentiles or from the nations. And so I think there's still going to be differences in that sense, but I don't think that they remain separate. Now, the question of the marriage supper of the Lamb, I would think Old Testament saints would be involved in that. I would think that they would be. I wouldn't even have a problem that they've become part of the bride of Christ. I wouldn't have a problem with that either. I mean, I don't see that. I mean, some people may see it differently, but I don't necessarily have a problem that they're enjoying that marriage supper just as we do.
We'll be able to ask Moses, "Can you please pass the ketchup?"
Yeah, that'd be
He'll
nice.
He'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that either.
Yeah.
And if they're not, then I understand that too. But as we look at, and these are getting, we're probably getting into some, these are difficult to for clarity, because sometimes the Bible, when we look at Revelation and the, you know, when the scrolls are opened, and will we be able to see all that happening as we're there, as the tribulation's going on? Those are two questions that are hard. We're kind of speculating on those, aren't we? Or are we?
Yeah,
are we?
I think the speculation. I would speculate that we won't care.
Because I've heard people say, "Well, we know what's going on the earth."
I would speculate that we're going to be so excited about what's going on in our actual what we do see in the setting there, that what's going on earth would be something that won't even. It wouldn't even register with us. Now, that's how I've always seen it, but it doesn't mean that we don't. It doesn't mean that we that we would not know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what we'll know.
Well, it talks about when there's going to be, when the scroll is presented and no one is worthy to open it, right? Mm-hmm. There's silence in heaven. Mm-hmm. So will we be part of it? It's just all these interesting things are going on that it's kind of like, it's interesting when you look at something that has happened in history that you wish you were there. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen in heaven is going to be amazing. And we probably will be there, but will we be able to see it happening? I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure. And this is kind of, I mean, it's, I understand why we're pushing into that the territory of the Bride of Christ, because it fits the whole eschatological understanding. I think getting back to the original question, though, of, you know, what is the body of Christ? And specifically, do you have to be a member of the local church to be a part of the body of Christ?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would see that was my explanation of the body of Christ being those who are from, you know, from Pentecost to the rapture, that is the body of Christ. But I think in terms of, when you look at it in terms of the local church, we've already said that's the physical manifestation of the body of Christ in a time and place. But do you have to be a member of the local church? Well, I think the question is, what do you define as membership? I mean, I would argue that if you are gathering with a local church as a Christian, you are part of the body of Christ, and you're gathering with this local church, and you are a member of that body. I think that it's interesting because, you know, it's interesting that baptism is the sign that is an outward sign of an inward reality, an outward sign, you know, we're being dunked in the water, that we've been dunked in the Holy Spirit. You know, we've been baptized by the Holy Spirit at salvation. And so then baptism is an outward sign or a symbol of that inner reality. It's telling the world, I am now part of the body of Christ. I am now a Christian. Whereas being a member of the church is kind of the same thing. You already are a member of the church, right? Everyone who is in the body of Christ, if you're truly a Christian, you're part of the body of Christ. But membership, where I become a member of a church,
formal
membership, is just that same,
yeah,
right? It's a symbol of the same reality. Like I'm signing my name on the dotted line, so to speak, saying I want to covenant with this particular body. I'm gonna be unified with them. I'm gonna seek peace with them. I'm gonna seek unity with them. And so, yeah, I'm going to love this particular body of Christ. It doesn't mean that I don't love other local churches. Like I can, you know, I can love Grace Jacks or GIBC or Grace Community Church in, you know, out in LA, or any of a number of church, you know, Grace Bible Church in Fallon, which is where I came from, Grace Bible Church in South Carolina, where I was at for a while. All of those are basically local bodies of Christ, and I love them, but I'm covenanting with a specific group of people at Grace Bible Church Gainesville, and until the Lord takes me away from that, that's where I'm going to be a member. Being a member, like a more formal, is just basically solidifying that reality, or making that reality, I don't even know how to say it.
I would just say that more formal, like you are.
Yeah, like you're announcing yourself.
Yes,
you're announcing to the world that I am part of this particular body.
And could we say that part of that is because we always talk about this, that you want to be better equipped. Also, you want to be held accountable by your fellow believers.
Yes.
That they keep you held accountable.
Yes. I think it's interesting because I think that's how God has designed it. You know, that's why, you know, the writer of Hebrews says, don't forsake the gathering.
Yeah.
Right. If I have said I'm going to be a part of, I have joined myself to a particular group of people that are part of the body of Christ. I'm part of the body of Christ. I've joined myself to them. I shouldn't forsake that, right? Why shouldn't I forsake that? Because I get encouragement from them. I get teaching from them. I get held accountable by them. I mean, that's how God has designed it. And when I separate myself from that, Am I part of the body of Christ? Well, if I'm a true believer, yes, right. But I would say I'm being disobedient as a believer. I'm in sin as a believer, if that's the case, and it may actually indicate that I'm not truly a believer.
Mm.
And that's what the writer of Hebrews gets to, is that if you separate yourself from the body of Christ, physically separate yourself from the body of Christ, it may actually be an indication that you aren't truly part of the body of Christ.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good reason for wanting to be a member.
Yeah, that's Hebrews 10. Now, but I'm not. Now, there's churches that don't have membership, official membership. And I would say that somebody who has, you know, regularly gathering with someone is a member of that church, whether or not it's official or not. I mean, yeah. I'm not. The reality of it is different than, you know, the membership aspect of it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you I think we should clarify the fact that are we saying or are we not saying that you need to be baptized and a member of a local church to be part of the body and bride of Christ?
Okay. Well,
or can you just
I don't think you have to be baptized. And I don't think you have to be an official
member. Because the thief on the cross, right?
Yeah, that would be another. That would be one example. But I don't think that you could be a true believer who isn't baptized and who isn't a member, a physical member, meaning I've officially joined a church. I don't think that that's the case. I would stop short of saying that, but I would argue that you're being disobedient. Because we've been commanded to be baptized, and I would argue that we are commanded to be a part of a local church, and so, like actually part of a local church. These Christians who nowadays who are online Christians, I think they're either they're in sin or they're not believers. Now, yeah. I mean, I think that I think that they're remaining immature because they're not actually joining the church.
Can you be a true believer and never be baptized?
I think so, but I don't know. I think there's disobedience there.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's interesting because I think that because obviously if you don't, you know, if you say that you have to be baptized as a believer, so we're talking about believer's baptism. We're talking about you become saved and you're baptized. We're not talking about infant baptism, which I don't think is legitimate.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know I'm probably stepping on toes here, but that's okay. That's what we're used to doing. So I would argue that the problem with saying that someone can't be a believer is there's a whole category then of Christians who I would say wouldn't be believers if I thought that, right? Because they've been sprinkled as a baby, but I don't think that's believer's baptism. So believer's baptism is basically an outward sign or an outward announcement,
declaration
that I have actually been saved, that I've actually been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's the symbol. I have died to myself and I've been raised to new life. That's the whole, you know, going under the water and coming back out, which is what, you know, which actually follows what John the Baptist did with Jesus. Now it's obviously Jesus is different. He's a completely different category than we are, but because he's not a sinner, we are. But yeah, that is an outward sign. But if it's an outward sign, then it has to stay just that. It's not part of salvation. Like if you say that I have to be baptized in order to be saved, then it's basically work salvation, and I reject that. I reject that completely. I don't think it's a work. Now, again, I feel like any Christian who doesn't get baptized as a believer is disobedient.
Yeah, that's an old argument that some people really believe that when you're baptized, something happens where your sins are forgiven, everything happens.
Well, and that comes from what Peter says, be baptized for the remission of sins.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was his point.
It's like, it's like taking the Lord's Supper. It's a memorial.
Yes.
To Jesus dying on the cross.
Yes.
Baptism is a outward declaration.
Yes.
Of this is what I believe in. And just so you know, you, Brandon, and I believe in, we see nothing, infant baptism, we would see it more as a dedication.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with dedicating infants.
Yes. Yeah, it's funny, I watched a show the other night.
Creatures Great and Small.
Yeah, All Creatures Great and Small. And they actually had the young veterinarian and his wife had a baby, and they had it baptized by the church. So it was named and it was christened, and he sprinkled water on the baby's head. But he actually talks about that baby becoming part of the body of Christ. Mm. And it just struck me because I've never really, I've only seen one baby baptism in my life prior to that. I saw one Greek Orthodox that did it. And this is the second one I saw, but this wasn't Greek Orthodox. I assume it was the Church of England. I'm not sure, but because it's set in England. But I was struck by, you know, him saying that you are now part of the body of Christ. And I would not, if that's where they're at, I know I'm looking at watching the television show, but if that's where they're at, I just don't see that. Like, I don't see them, I don't equate that with salvation.
Yeah.
Right? It's not, if you're going to dedicate your baby and say that we're going to raise him up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that's one thing.
Yep.
Right? But to basically say now you're part of the body of Christ because you are part of this family, I don't see that at all scripturally.
Yeah, that's why we talk about the age of accountability. We don't know when that is, but yeah. There has to be an understanding
yes.
of what's going on. And a yes. baby, and I was born a baby, and I was also baptized yes. as a baby, and then I was baptized as an adult, so I was a double dunker. And yeah, the adult one makes far more sense biblically.
Believer's baptism, meaning that yeah. I'm baptized as a believer.
Exactly.
Yes, which is yeah. what which is the model that you actually see in Acts.
Yes,
that they believed and were baptized.
Yes,
yeah. That you know they saw the 3,000 at the beginning on the day of Pentecost. Those were baptized as believers, and we see the same thing as Acts progresses. When people come to know the Lord, they baptize them. And I think that's the same pattern that we have today, and it's a pattern that was set by the Lord in Matthew 28, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But again, that's an outward sign of an outward declaration of what's happened inwardly. So I become baptized. When I'm baptized by the Holy Spirit at salvation, I become a member of the body of Christ. It's just that to be obedient, I need to do it physically. I become a member. When I become a member of a local church, I'm in obedience to what God has commanded, that I'm commanded to gather with the local church as a Christian. So when I'm an internet Christian, or when I'm, you know, a Christian that says, you know, we just do church in our living room, that's a non-starter. I mean, it's because you're not part of the church. You're not being physically a part of the church. Can you be saved in that situation? Yeah, I think so. I don't want to push it to the point of, you know, because that becomes a work. I have to go to church in order to be a Christian. That's not what we're saying. What we are saying is that I have to go to church in order to be an obedient Christian.
Yeah, unless there's a health reason or you're
absolutely
you're very old and yeah, maybe can't make it.
For sure. We have Miss Elaine yeah, in our church. Yeah. And yeah, she can't come on a Sunday because right. of health reasons. But you know, when she can, she does. Yeah. Right. I mean, she, even to this day, I'm 100% sure. I shouldn't even say there's any doubt. I'm 100% sure that if she could come, she would come.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's different. That's a different category.
And we're praying that she can come to our new location when, you know, at least a few more times.
Yes.
And this, I hope this doesn't shock anybody, but we also look at the body of Christ, the local church. Not everybody that's in the church is a part of the body, right? Is yeah. considered the bride of Christ. There are tares among the wheat.
Yeah, yeah. Christ promised
that. Wheat among the tare?
There's tares among the wheat, yeah. Christ promised that there's going to be people who don't believe amongst us. And we see that. We see it in, you know, even all the deconstruction that's going on. Mm. You know, most of those people who have deconstructed their faith were at one point part of the body of Christ in the sense of joining together with the body of Christ. And so those people were not believers, and they're not ultimately not members of the body of Christ.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's about all we can talk about with the bride, right? Is that yeah. everything? Did we hit everything?
I don't know. Did we?
I think so. I think you...
Did you ask all your questions?
I did.
Okay.
And I think you even answered some that I didn't have. So. No. Okay. I said that if I could find some, I'd play some highlights. So here's a few from our past 99 podcasts.
Welcome to Fresh Bread Podcast number 1. Fresh Bread, where we serve God's truth to a starving world. We're a podcast of Grace Bible Church Gainesville. I'm Keith Kemp, the associate pastor. With me on the other side of the mic is Senior Pastor Brandon Phillips. So, has revival come to America? In today's podcast, we're going to look at the Asbury Revival. and ask the questions, what biblically is a revival? Where in God's word do we see a revival? Biblically, what should revival look like then? Pastor Brandon, what is a revival?
Keith, ultimately, we have to look to the Word of God to see what the Lord has to say about revival. Second Chronicles 7:14 is instructive, I believe, because in Second Chronicles 7:14, it says that my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will listen from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And I think that's an important verse because it helps us understand where revival comes from. The Word of God says that comes through humility, that when people who are called by the Lord's name, people who are God's people, humble themselves and they pray and they seek His face and they turn from their evil way, that humility of understanding who we are in light of who God is in terms of the glory of God and understanding that we need to pray to Him. And so revival then would start in the prayer room. It would start with God's people praying.
And on this podcast, we're going to leave this world and travel to Mars with God's truth. So, Pastor Brandon, are you ready to go to Mars?
I'm not going to Mars.
You don't want to go to Mars?
Although it would be kind of cool if Elon Musk would let me be strapped to a rocket and go into space. I'd probably do that. Although my wife and kids might not like it. I don't know. My kids would be okay with it. My wife probably would. But yeah.
Well, hi, everyone. Welcome to Fresh Bread Podcast 19, UFOs.
UFOs?
It's, yeah, we're talking about Mars, we're talking about outer space. UFOs are really, people are seeing them more and more lately. We're getting them more on film. Even the Pentagon is, you know, can't figure out what these things are. Throw that at you. What are UFOs?
What are UFOs? I would lean toward the vast majority of them have to be, you know, some sort of experimental aircraft or just some sort of aberration. I mean, it's not real in terms of it ends up being shown. It's not a UFO. I mean, the vast majority of those things are shown that way. I would lean toward if there are legitimate UFOs that it would be demonic in nature, that it'd be demonic in terms of us seeing something that would be from the angelic realm. I don't think that it's life, you know, planet or another solar system or whatever that, you know, that is coming and visiting us.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Apollo stuff, kind of thankful for the inventions that came out of that. Tang, I love it. Velcro. Velcro is another thing. I love it. Well, thanks for clicking on Fresh Bread. Fresh Bread. Fresh Bread 81 podcast.
Make it make sense. That's what we're here to do.
How are we going to do that? So November 5th coming up. We're recording this before November 5th. In fact, the week before. Let's make our predictions. I'll start. I'll go first. I am predicting, this is my prediction, Donald Trump will win in a landslide. I think he will win the popular vote. He'll take that. I think he'll take over 300 electoral votes. That's my prediction. All right. Well, that was a little bit of a snippet of what we do here at Fresh Bread. As we leave, is there anything you want to say to our listeners or for these 100 podcasts, anything you want to say?
Well, I think I'm thankful for you listening. I'm thankful that it's been helpful. If it has been helpful, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the opportunity to do it. You, as the body of Christ, pay me to, you know, sit and study and do these sorts of things. And so outside of the support that we have from the body of Christ, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing. And so I'm eternally grateful for what the church has allowed me to do in doing this. And so, yeah, that's what I would say to those who are listening and to the church itself. Even those who don't listen who support us in doing this, I'm thankful for them.
Yeah. And I just want to say that, you know, thank you as well. And hopefully we have been able to clear some things up or make things even more confusing when you've listened. So, and I just want to say that Brandon and I have, just to give you a little background, we've known each other since 2013, so that's 12 years now. We met in seminary, and Brandon just excelled. He just sped right through seminary and did well, and he got the little, what is it called, the Alpha Omega?
I got the rope.
Yes, you did. And I graduated, praise the Lord, so that was all I could muster up. But we're glad, we're very thankful that we were able to go to the master's seminary, to experience that, to study hard, and then graduate. But graduating doesn't make us Rhodes Scholars in biblical stuff, but it's doing this kind of work that I think both of us are growing, is studying questions and digging into God's word and trying to find the answer. And I think that's been beneficial for me.
Yes, that's what I was saying earlier. That's probably been the best part of this.
I knew I heard that somewhere before. So we just want to thank everyone for listening. Thank you so much. And God bless. You've been listening to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church Gainesville. For more information, go to gracegainesville.org. And thanks for listening.